Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Here we are, Tuesday night, and I've got a phone ringing that shouldn't be ringing, but that's life in the big city. And I got to get Terry and Jesse unmuted here. Good evening, Terry. Good evening, Jesse.
Hello.
Mr. Mack, you there?
Yeah, there he is. He must have been
I was calling you.
Oh,
no,
you were
I was calling you on your other phone. Yeah.
Oh, you were the one that was bothering me. Okay.
Yes. You can. Yeah. You can't use the TCPA against your friend, okay?
No.
Oh, I don't know. No.
How are you doing, Terry?
Anything's worth a try, right?
That just depends on how annoying and harassing that friend is.
Exactly. Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
We are good.
Well, here we are.
Good.
Yep, here we are on October 12th, 2021. Rapidly approaching the end of the year, Tuesday night open call. So
you got
the email this afternoon.
Okay, good. I want to make sure everything was right.
I didn't, though, Jesse.
It went out to everybody. So yeah, I don't know, Terry. It literally went out to everybody, like 2,000 people.
I didn't get one, so. But Dave had told me about it, and I knew that the call was tonight anyway. But
actually, I got two emails like I usually do, so I got one for Terry and one for me. And I mentioned it this afternoon when I talked to her, so we're covered anyway.
There you go.
Oh,
awesome.
Dear.
Didn't get a chance to tell you, Dave, when we were having the conversation. Very interesting thing happened yesterday. After I picked up my bike and I was coming home on the highway out there between Hiawassee and here, I was trying to get my stereo on, radio station, and the only radio station I could get clear was Hannity's radio show. And I thought, what the hell, I left it on. Well, he had the guy who invented the mRNA technology that they're using in these vaccines. He had him on as a guest.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're having this discussion. And Hannity asks him about, specifically he brings up Fauci and all of his nonsense and, you know, shenanigans, etc., and what he thinks of all these mandates and so on and so forth. And the guy says, oh, he says, that crook, he said, first you need to understand, that guy's not a doctor. He's not a real doctor. He's never seen a patient in his life. And then he said, and this is what really blew me away, it really set me back. He said, and this is to Hannity, on mainstream radio station, he said, you wait until John F. Kennedy Jr.'s new book comes out exposing that rat. And Hannity didn't miss a beat. He just goes on with the conversation. He did not say Robert F. Kennedy. He said John F. Kennedy Jr.'s new book, which is coming out very soon. I found that extremely interesting because Hannity didn't say, you mean Robert, or, excuse me, John F. Kennedy's been dead forever. No, it's just conversation goes on.
Yeah, the doctor, he's been on War Room a lot over the last several months. He knows he knows Fauci. He's known Fauci for many years. And he said numerous times on War Room, he said numerous times that Fauci is a snake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff's really starting to come out. There's more and more truth coming out. Even some of the left-leaning media is starting to ask some hard questions these days. Yeah.
Well, there was a very interesting YouTube earlier with another World War. out of the airlines that said one of the Delta, now this has just been in the last couple of weeks, one of the Delta pilots died in flight on a commercial flight.
Yeah, Stu.
And
Stu had that on.
Yeah, and the co-pilot managed to land the flight at an
emergency landing. Okay. Yeah.
Emergency landing, and they covered it up, and the passengers, of course, weren't told what happened. I don't know what story they gave them, and the mainstream media did not cover it at all. But she works for, this woman that was talking, works for Delta, and she knew absolutely what had happened. The pilot, it was after, I can't remember what, first or
second
vaccine.
Shot. After the second shot.
Yeah, got up there.
For several days.
And the blood clots got his heart, and boom, out in mid-flight.
That's, and there's been more of those, too, that have been covered
a
up.
A lot of
them
in the UK.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what's going on out in our world.
Terrible. Well, there's a lot of other good stuff happening, so that's a good thing. So anyway, let me tell you what's happened over at my house, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody. So, you know, for, I don't know who's on the listening, but for our listeners that don't know, my mother-in-law had lung cancer about 7 years ago. They removed half of her lung. She had more lung cancer. They went in and did the CyberKnife on her. They did two rounds of chemotherapy, a couple of rounds of radiation. And she's got really bad, severe COPD and emphysema and chronic lung fatigue or something. I forget what it's called, but it's something like this. So basically her lungs are operating at about 35% to 40% is what they are. So COVID to her could be deadly. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So anyway, so about 3 weeks ago, they sold her house. We closed on her house. She moved in with us. So my brother-in-law, who used to live with his mom, and my nephew are waiting for their house to finish so then they can move into that place, which will be here like in 5 or 6 days. So anyway, he's 12. He catches COVID. We're sitting eating dinner on a Friday night like 2 weeks ago and says to me, you know, I can't really taste my food. Now, this kid is like a little Mensa kid, okay? IQ is high. I mean, very intellectual, very smart. And he says, you know, Uncle Jesse, I can't taste my food. So I jumped off the damn kitchen. I ran over to the pantry, grabbed the bottle of Tabasco sauce, and shoved it down his throat. I said, did you taste that? He goes, no, not really. I said, oh, shit. Put on a mask and go to the living room. That's exactly what I said. Put on a mask right now and go to the living room. And I said, Sandy, you know, this ain't good. I mean, you take him to school. Grandma likes to be here. Like you, Terry. She enjoys her grandkids, you know. And I said, tomorrow we're all going to go get tested. So we went and tested, and Sandy tested positive for COVID. And so did Sage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So Danny and I didn't, and neither did Shane. So I already had a plan, and this is what got everybody. So I got on the horn with my doctor friend down in West Palm Beach. I got the prescriptions, 5 prescriptions for ivermectin, sent to Publix. Picked them up in the afternoon, went down the next morning, took my mother-in-law down here to get the monoclonal antibody shot. I got it. Shane got it. Sandy got it. And I said, us four, all the adults got it. Sage, he's 12. He can get it, but I told him you don't need to. You're going to get over this crap anyway. So swung by the vitamin store, picked up a bunch of zinc and elderberry and some vitamin C, you know, the emergency stuff. And I said, Sandy,
don't forget the D3. Very
important. Yeah, no, we do D3. No, D3 in this family, we do it. I do 10,000 IVs every day. I've been doing it for 25 years. So is my mother. We all do. But anyway, so
yeah, I do 20.
I said,
go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, well, you shouldn't do that much, and I'll tell you why later. But anyway, my point is that I told her. I looked her right in the face, and I looked at my brother-in-law and my wife. They're her kids. I said, if you do exactly what I tell you to do, you're going to get through this with no hospital, no nothing. You're going to be fine. I said, if you do not listen, you're going to die. I'm just telling you, Sandy, you're going to die. And it scared the living shit out of her. And that's what I was trying to do, so it worked.
Yeah.
And that day, she started on her 6 pills of ivermectin. For her weight size, the doctor told her what to do. It was 6 pills. She got the shots. It was 4 shots of the antibody. So Monday, she was feeling pretty good all day long and taking her stuff. And then Monday night, she hit a fever of 105 at about 3 in the morning. So, crazy, right? So Danny and Shane were taking turns every 2 hours checking on her to make sure she had Tylenol every 4 hours, blah, blah, blah. The next morning, she got up, took a shower, and says, I don't feel anything. It's over. And we go, what do you mean? She goes, I'm telling you, whatever the hell was in my system is gone. And she's followed through this whole week, finished all her ivermectin prescription, taking her zinc, taking her vitamin C, 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, liquid, which is the best, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then zinc in the morning, zinc in the afternoon, elderberry in the morning, elderberry in the afternoon, the D3 in the morning, D3, you know, just a regimen. And I helped her. I got everything on the counter. I gave her Curamin, which you're supposed to have too, and then at night melatonin to sleep so you get a good night's sleep and give your body a chance to recover. Anyway, she's a 72-year-old sick woman who's on oxygen 24/7, and the doctors flat out told her, if you get it, you're going to die. And I told her, you're wrong. If she gets it and I bring her to you, you're going to kill her. But she's not going to die. She's fine. She went to the doctor today. The doctor couldn't fucking believe it. Excuse my French. Literally said, you had COVID, Sandy? And she's like, yeah, fever and all. Well, were you vaccinated? She goes, I wouldn't be here if I was. So just to prove it, I'm going to do a video with her, like an interview with her.
And that's a woman with the highest comorbidity she could have.
You can't get higher. It doesn't exist on this earth, okay?
Not for that particular pathogen, no.
That's right. So, you know, following strict guidelines, strict, for 5 days saved her life. I mean, literally, she had a fever. That was it. No runny nose, no coughing, no congestion, no nothing.
Well,
it was gone
in
24 hours.
Jesse, in the last 2 weeks, Dr. Will had a similar thing. He was helping a woman whose husband had gotten it, and really, really bad, and he didn't take the vaccine. He was shed on. That's how he ended up with it. And they put him on a ventilator, and then she got an order from his doctor for ivermectin, and the hospital refused to give it to him, and they were going to give him the remdesivir. And Dr. Will helped her get an ambulance and get his butt out of that hospital. He forced him to release him, and he's got the ivermectin and plenty of it, you know. So he put him on a protocol very, very similar to what you just described, except that he did use the homemade hydroxy and the ivermectin and the C and the D and, you know, all of that. And the guy is, he was like hours away from death, literally.
Yeah.
And
they'll tell
he's
you're
fine
die.
Now.
That's the easiest part, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and he's fine now. But if he hadn't helped that woman get her husband out of that hospital and off that ventilator, it would be a funeral this week.
Yeah, you see, this is my point, that it's just absolutely insane. And these doctors are not doing what they're supposed to do to help people survive. You know,
they're being paid not to.
That's right. And Sandy has to go in because she goes in for a bronchiophantesis, and that's where they basically drain your lungs of fluid.
Yeah.
And she's got to do one about every month, every 2 months she'll go in. So she's due. That's why she was at the doctor today. And she says, I can feel my lungs are filling up a little bit again, like normal, and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor didn't know anything about COVID. And I guess Danny and her said, well, you know, I had COVID a week ago. And he goes, what? And this is like, when I tell you he's one of the best guys in the Southeast, he is a lung doctor's specialist, you know. And he's like, what, Sandy? He goes, yeah. He says, are you kidding me? And he's like, no. You know, and he's like, what the hell did you do? Like, there's not a single symptom, sign, or indication that you have been through COVID. And she goes, my son-in-law saved my life. And he goes, oh, my God. And he says, I'm telling you, you've been telling me to get vaccinated for a year. And I've seen, and the killing show is referred back to me because you guys don't know this either, but another one of our fishing buddies just died 2 weeks ago after getting the jab, 2 days later.
Oh,
he went and finally got it, and he passed away. He was in his 50s, yeah. So, you know, she says, my son-in-law knows personal people dying from the jab. As a matter of fact, he knows more people that have died from the jab than more people have died from COVID. It's pretty bad when you can put it like that. And she told me, yeah, we did ivermectin, did the monoclonicals, did the, you know, everything, the strict regimen he put me on. And I didn't do anything that wasn't recommended to do by my doctor, who's, she's also Cuban, she's down south. And she's one of those doctors like the Cuban lady in Texas that was, you know, everybody tried to throw under the bus for saving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's just old school, and she says, you can do this the old way. You don't need all this crap. You don't need vaccines. You don't need
anything.
Yeah,
how
stuff.
Did humanity
you know?
Live through thousands of
exactly.
years
yep,
these
yep.
idiots?
Yeah.
Well,
no, I think
the
one advantage,
overarching
Sandy,
yeah,
go ahead,
finish.
Go ahead, Dave. Oh, no, I'm just saying, I think Sandy had one advantage, and that is, remember when we came back from China, back in 19, which is November, late November of 19, my wife, about a week after we got home, was sicker than hell for 2 weeks. Well, then Sandy got it. And every time Sandy gets sick, Danny will make her stay at our house so Danny can keep an eye on mom, you know. And she went through about 8 days of hell, and so did my wife. So I think that there was some kind of natural antibody in her anyways to the COVID, and then the monoclonal just boosted that up, you know, gave her like a little gas in her tank.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And then kicked it because Danny's still negative. I was negative. Shane tested positive. So Wednesday. So this tomorrow will be his 10th day. And then here's the odd part. So Sage went back to school today. And the nurse at the school said, well, it's only 10 days, but if they're not exhibiting anything, fever, coughs, runny noses, nothing, send them back to school. Because we think it's 10 days, but the kids can put the stuff out in 3 or 4 or 5 days. So they sent him back to school today. He was back to school today. Yeah. Hey, man, those little kids are like resilient, you know, little freaking monkeys. They're fine. So,
well,
you know,
they've got real good immune systems.
Exactly. They're strong. So he was, you know, he never had a fever, but he was runny nose and cough and stuff, and we made him quarantine in his own room here at the house for the first 5 or 6 days. He wasn't even allowed out. You know, Danny would take dinner to him. Danny would pick up the plate. Danny would take him soda or cookies or whatever. But you're not leaving that room. You could take a shower and go to the restroom right back into the room. You don't come to your grandma, you know. And you disinfect everything you touch. So, I mean, Danny's very, very careful. And Dave, you know my wife. She's pretty laid back. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, she really tightened up the reins and said, no, nuh-uh.
Well,
everybody's going to follow my orders. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you need to do what you need to do in those kind of situations. But
yeah,
what
she
I wasn't
going to let mom die like that.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, and this is the big thing, and I think most of us that are on this call understand this. The overarching situation here is not about saving people. It's about killing people. That's what this is all about.
It's sad to say.
So
but
that's why they don't want the
right
things done. They don't want the right things done. That's why they say you can't use HCQ, ivermectin, and stuff. They're going to give you the remdesivir because they make a ton of money by doing that, and it kills people off. That causes kidney failure, and then that's fatal. So they take somebody that's just of questionable a questionable situation at best or at worst, and they kill them off by doing that. And that's these hospital protocols that are put out by Fauci and company, And why that son of a bitch, yes, I said son of a bitch, and I could say something else.
He is.
Hasn't been removed from his job and thrown in jail. It just absolutely befuddles me.
Because
he's
pushing
the
agenda. That's what he's doing. That's why.
Exactly. But this is how bad things are out here. Whatever you do, and I will dig this out during the call here. I hadn't had a chance to dig it out. I was going to send Terry a link for a video that I watched a few days ago. Mel Kay, and there's a doctor from Frisco, Texas.
You didn't send me that.
Yeah. Frisco is just north of me here. Immediately north of where I'm sitting is Plano, and north of Plano is Frisco. Okay, this guy is a chiropractor, and he saw early on that there was a big problem. Well, he has done some other things. I won't go into all that. But he dug up. He's one of these people that's really good at researching stuff. He dug all the documents out, all of the stuff from Fauci's bunch and the Center for Disease Control about all the statistical facts about remdesivir, the death rate with it, and everything else. He's got all that information available, and he says, whatever you do, if you think you've got COVID, do not go to the hospital. He says that you're signing your own death warrant if you go to the hospital if you think you've got COVID, because they've got the protocols. Yeah. They tell you you don't have any say-so, and they run through those protocols, and they're meant to kill people.
Yeah.
They are murdering people. Now, I will dig out this link. I don't care what it takes, but I will find that link, and I will send that to Terry, and she'll be able to put it out. So if you're on Terry's email list for her calls on Thursday, she'll be sure and put that in that email. And you want to watch that. It's about a one-hour interview, but he's got a ton of information, including various places where you can buy ivermectin online, so you can get all the stuff you need yourself. You do not have to depend on the hospitals. And like he said, if you say you want to go to the hospital, it's like signing your own death warrant.
Yes.
Yep. You're saying I'm ready to die.
Yeah. And
well,
this
my buddy
is,
Charlie. Yeah, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, his father-in-law passed at the hospital here in St. Cloud of COVID. Charlie is 44 years old. He was in the hospital. And we had a two-day tournament this weekend, which is just our local deal here. And Saturday morning, he was back on the trailer by 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, I can't even fish. I have no energy. I can't breathe. He's 44. He was in the hospital for 4 days, and he basically said that they said the COVID killed 20% of my lungs down below. They're black, he said. And I don't want to hurt his feelings and say anything else to him, you know, but he went to the hospital. They did the protocols. They did everything that they're not supposed to do because they don't know what to do. And then
that's
we know
what
does work.
To his
lungs.
I mean?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, and I hope people, anybody that's listening to this, takes this seriously, because this literally is a life or death situation. You have to understand, whether you believe it or not, whether you think, Dave's full of shit, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I've spent so much time researching this stuff and listening and learning and talking to other people that are doing the same thing, including Terry and Jesse and numerous other people that are very, very, very informed. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not full of shit. This is an agenda to depopulate this country. And if you don't take it seriously, then it's the whole planet, but let's just talk about our own country in the short term. If you don't take it seriously, you're your own worst enemy. You really are.
Yep.
It's time, if you've been one of these, I don't believe this crap, if you believe that, well, then you are your own worst enemy.
Yeah, but don't forget what I've always told you, Dave. You can't fix stupid.
Leave
it alone. Stupid, you have to leave stupid alone. You can, as it's still saying, lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So that's all I can do, man. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm not even going to consider
anything.
Terry
and I had quite a discussion about this afternoon, you know.
Right. I used to try, I was telling Dave, I used to, you know, up until fairly recently, I would try very hard to discuss these things and tell people these things in a gentle way, okay? Because I know I'm dealing with utter indoctrination and ignorance, you know. But there's a lot of emotion connected with waking up. I remember what it was like when I first did wake up, you know. But now here lately, not anymore. We don't have time for Mrs. Nice Guy anymore. I am flat out blatant because people have begun coming to me and saying, I got the jab. I didn't get the second one, but I got the first one.
Doesn't matter.
And now I wish I didn't. So what can I do to reverse this? You know what? I used to be very nice and very gentle about it, but I'm not now. And I just tell them, well, then I would say that you start putting your affairs in order and saying your goodbyes. Because as of right now, you got about between a year and at the outside no more than 3. And there is no way to reverse it. That's not to say that some brilliant researcher might not come up with a way. But as of right now, you just committed long-term suicide, and I'll miss you.
Yeah. No, I just, like I said, I'm not going to worry about any of that. All I got to do is do exactly what I did, which is take care of those I can help and take care of. And everybody else, I can't. I mean, I can tell you, I can show you, I can, you know, I can't do anything else. And that's it. I'm not going to try because my time and energy is just worth so much anymore. That you know, as we get older,
we don't have time
for
that.
You should value your time. Yeah, you should value your time even more and more and more because your time's getting less and less and less. So it's becoming more valuable, or at least it should be if you have 2 damn brain cells to put together. So, you know, as I get older, it's like I told Shane, you know, and Dave knows I've been in cryptos for a long, long time. I've done very damn well, and they're about to blow up even more. And I just told Shane, I said, you know, I don't know if I want to keep our fishing business. I want to sell that or dump it or get rid of it or give it. I don't care. I got other things I want to do with my time and energy other than chase my tail around with the Chinese and delayed shippings and boats being stuck at ports. And it's not effective. It's just not an effective way to do it. You know, so
our
well,
world
my,
has changed dramatically.
Yeah,
we have to adapt to those changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm just, it's funny how the last 2 years I've been so reluctant to waste any time that I just don't have to do. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm sorry, it sounds so bad, but I just don't want to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'll tell you once, I'll tell you twice. After that, you're on your own, bro. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You know, I have a friend right now, Dave, and Terry, this, you know, Dave trades, I trade, my son trades, whatever. So I have a bunch of people that are friends of mine that follow me, and basically I have a little text group, and I'll say, hey, listen, I'm, you know, this is going to happen, or stay tuned for that, or get in this particular trade and then get out here or whatever. So they follow, they kind of mimic. And well, I have a friend of mine, he's 26 years old, 27. I take him like a son, you know. I took him under my wing. He's a good fishing kid. He's very sharp, and he has a house that has about $200,000 equity in it down south. And I said, listen, you might want to consider refinancing that house, take everything you can out of there and throwing it into Bitcoin and just leave it there. Your payment is not going up. It actually went down $100. And what's going to happen is real estate market's going to tank. So your house that's worth $400 now is going to be worth $3 or $275 in 12, 18 months. In the meanwhile, in that same 12 or 18 months, BTC can be up at $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000. So look at the way, weigh this out, you know. He's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I want to preserve the equity in my house. I said, you're not going to have any. They're going to steal it from you.
Yeah,
it's happening now with inflation. It's happened to me, dude.
It happened to me. They did
you it don't
in
get
2008.
It.
They're just going to
exactly,
do it bigger this time.
Yeah. You know, that's the whole evolution of what lies in your debt was what happened to me in 08. You know, I lost everything. And it's because they took it from me overnight. Yeah, overnight. And that just can happen. And I'm just telling them, if you can snatch it now at a cheap rate and go put it to work doing something that's appreciating, that's where I would be. And at 26, I said, you could be retired by the time you're 30. You know, literally retired. And he just doesn't, you know, well, I don't know. I said, that's it. I said, I'm going to tell you once. I ain't going to tell you twice. I don't argue with stupid. I don't try to talk too stupid and do it. And I tell them straight out just like that. I don't care if it sounds rude or not. When you're making stupid decisions, you're going to get stupid results.
There's no more time for coddling.
No, I don't have time. I don't have the patience. I have a grandson coming into this world in the next couple of weeks. And that's the only thing I'm coddling.
There you go.
I'm coddling the shit out of that kid. You know, I can't wait. But other than that, I'm good. You know, I just don't. I mean, everything now is focused on, you know, preserving the wealth, preserving what I have, preserving, you know, the family, and helping what I have grow for my family. Not for me. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I don't need a Porsche or a big old house. I'm happy with everything I got. I'm so content. And my wife's the same way. She's more of a simpleton than I am. And it's just simple. We don't want anything out of life except our family to be healthy and good and enjoy our grandkid like you do, Terry. You spend time with you. You know, it's awesome. Every time I hear you talking, I hate it. I love that. You know, and it's my turn now. I can say, hey, I'm doing something with Jordan today. You know?
Not your own, Haley. Yeah.
Exactly. You know? So that's a nice feeling. It's something I missed that I've always wanted. Now I got it. And God willing, you know, everything goes good. But my point is that you can't. You know, you can try to help somebody, but that's it. There's a point that you have to say, I'm done. My time is worth way more than the energy I'm going to spend trying to help you. Because you don't appreciate it. You just don't appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, like I was telling Dave earlier, what people don't understand, and everything that's happening is being allowed to happen, and it had to happen the way it is happening. And what people are not getting a grip is that we are at war. The bloodiest war in the history of human existence. Whether you actually realize that and see that right now or not, it is the truth. And on the other side, when we come out of the other side, the collateral damage and casualty list is going to be the largest in history. But, and I hate it that this sounds callous and just unfeeling, but it's the fact that those who are left are going to be those with two active brain cells to rub together, who understood, woke up, and stood for humanity. So the rest of them, those that will perish, because they refused to wake up, because they insisted on being sheep, they will not be in our way.
No. They will not be.
You know, because we will have less stupid to deal with. That's how I got to look at it.
But you have to. You're 100% correct. That's the whole point.
Just my two cents. I agree 150% with both with what Jesse and Terry are talking about. I'm absolutely of the same view. You know, if you don't want to help yourself, why should we help you?
Exactly.
We'll try.
Well, yeah, and
I mean, we point you in a direction.
It's
just like everything we've done with what lies in your debt. We've never done the work for people. We point you in a direction, point out where things are, help you out, but you have to do it for yourself. And it's the same thing with this situation now.
It's
no different.
Difficult and painful mindset to come to get to, and it breaks my heart because it goes against, you know, who I've always been and how I feel about people. But we're at a time in human history where you got to understand what is. And the thing that can hurt you the most is what you don't know, you don't know. So you better get busy and start finding out.
What you don't know, you just don't know. 100% the truth. It is what it is, guys. We just keep rolling with it. You can't do anything else.
Well, before we get into any discussion, possible discussion about that issue, I think it'd be a good idea to have Jesse do his patented disclaimer, just so we don't get our butts in a sling here.
I forgot. Yeah, of course, guys. Welcome to the call. We've been ranting and raving about catching up because we only have one call a month, so it makes it a little bit harder to catch up and takes a little longer. But anyway, so. Guys, of course, if you come here looking for legal advice, you've come to the wrong place. We don't even know what that is, so we can't offer it. But what we do is have a lot of fun talking about our cases and talking about situations. And I got one for you, David, too, that I'm going to run by you guys. So anyway, guys, again, whatever you hear here should not be taken or construed as legal advice because it's not intended to, and it's never going to be. We don't know. So it is what it is. So, again, this is not legal advice. Should never be taken as legal advice. It's not intended to be. So there you go. Is that good enough?
You're the one with the patent. I think it works just fine.
I patent one every week, it seemed like, when we were rolling on it. But now it takes a little longer.
How tall is that stack over in the corner of your desk of those patents?
Pretty
papers?
Tall, I promise you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, anyway, we're covered for tonight, so nobody's going to get their butt in a sling.
There you go.
I sure wouldn't want to have that happen to me as the moderator of the call. I mean, good grief,
right?
I can't afford it. So, anyway, we've got one hand up. If somebody has got a question or a comment, all you have to do is hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and that will raise your hand where I can see you on the board. And then I can unmute you, and you can ask your question or extend your thoughts on whatever it is that you have thoughts on. So we have one person at this point that has their hand up, and it's somebody with all 11111, which a lot of times is an internet call, but we're going to go ahead and unmute that. So you're unmuted. So who we got here? We got an echo is what we got. I heard my voice again.
Okay, let me take your speaker. Okay. It sure not stupid is, because I'm not one of those stupid does.
That's right. How are you, sweetheart?
I am so wonderful, and thank you for taking my call. I enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to the video and interview with your family, because that is going to be a definite winner and an eye-opener for a lot of people. So
yeah,
I'm glad
I'm
all is
you that
well.
It was a trying time, but really overnight it was done. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Overnight it was done.
I forgot to mention, Jesse, and I should before I do forget before the end of the call, part 18 of The Great Awakening, Janet Osebard's series, is out tonight. So if you watched, I sent it out to everybody, if you watched everything wonderful, every part, you should. 17 especially, but part 18 came out today, so go back to that link and go watch 18.
Okay. We shall do it.
Okay, looking forward to all
the
information.
So what do you got for us tonight,
everybody's sharing. Oh, goodness. Okay, this is what we have for tonight. I don't know if I need to fill everybody in what's going on, but we're going back to Bozo Lawyer PA, the situation that we had sued him for FDCPA violation in federal court.
Right, and we were discussing last week on my call.
That is correct. And the issue was, after we talked through it and talked through it, I did realize that I sued his PA firm, but that was not on the complaint. On the complaint was his law firm name. But I did do what you said. I did call the Secretary of State twice. The first lady was very kind of rude, and I just like, okay, I'll try another day. But the bottom line on Secretary of State of the website, his business, the PA, has been filed, is up to date, but it has nothing to do with the case that we had filed for FDCPA violation. So what I know now, like Terry mentioned, we have to request a motion for extension of time to serve the defendant properly, because right now his motion is because there is insufficiency of process.
Well, no, wait a minute. Insufficiency of process. Well, hang on a second. You sued both the lawyer and you sued the PA, which the PA was an error, so you need to sue the named law firm.
Right.
So
correct.
You're going to need to, yeah, you're going to need to do a couple things. You want to dismiss the PA from the lawsuit, as well as do a proper service on the law, his name law firm, right?
Right. So I'd have to do a motion to dismiss the PA from the lawsuit. Okay, so here's my question now. And do a motion for extension of time, that's my question, to serve the proper law firm?
I think what I would do would be to do a motion for enlargement of time to effect proper service on the proper entity.
The correct plaintiff.
The correct defendant. The correct defendant. But you want to explain to the court that the reason for the enlargement of time is so that you can correct an error made where you sued the PA rather than the law firm, and note to the court that there, a motion to dismiss the PA is being filed at the same time as your motion for extension of time, so that the court knows that you're moving forward with correcting the error that was made. And remember, it was a mistake. Now, as we've said many times on these calls in the last almost 11 years, mistakes can be corrected. You know,
don't
nobody's
call
perfect.
It an error.
Yeah. So you made a mistake in the entity that was served. It was a PA, and it should have been his named law firm.
Right,
and you're in the process.
Secretary of State.
Right, and see what the court can do is when the court picks up that paper and looks at it, that motion for enlargement of time to answer the motion to dismiss, the court will understand the context of the whole entire context. Okay, you've made a mistake. You're in the process of correcting it. You have filed a motion to dismiss the party, the entity, the PA that was mistakenly served, and to and you need additional time to permit correct process for the actual party.
Nice.
In other words, you just put it out in front of the court, so when the court reads it, they can understand it. You want to make it perfectly clear. There was a mistake made, and this is a process we're following to correct that mistake. Please give us
inadvertent. It was a mistake. You are in the process of correcting that, and you need to be granted the time to get it done.
Okay. Now, once I file that, do I have to wait for his response, or can I just go ahead and start serving the correct entity?
Well, you have to go to the clerk and get a summons for the correct one.
Yes, I will go directly to the federal court.
Oh, I would move forward. I would absolutely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't waste 1 second. I'd move absolutely forward as quickly as you could.
Yes.
Because
so,
it's always within your right to add a defendant. You have the right to do that. You're just asking the court to give you more time to get it done. But you're not saying to the court, I'm not going to do anything until you tell me what to do. Because that's just not the court's job.
Yeah.
Okay. So what
and
I'm
the
going
court,
to do...
The, I would say the court would be appreciative of you taking swift action to remedy the mistake that has been made.
Agreed.
And then the court can look at the docket and see what's happening, because as soon as you get that new entity served, then you can file your proof of service with the court. And you can put, I would put that right in the motion that, you know, you are proceeding with perfecting service on the proper party. And as soon as that service is perfected, evidence of that will be filed with the court.
Proof of service will be filed in a timely manner.
Yeah, but that way you're letting the court know exactly what you're going to do.
Okay. I can get that done tomorrow. I've been working on it because I knew that I'm asking for enlargement of time to do a proper service, but I didn't add the motion to dismiss. So I will get that done.
Yeah. Now, don't put them together. Make them separate.
No,
separate.
Two separate.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Right.
All right. So my next question is, if I wanted to amend the complaint, so here's my question now, because the original complaint has both the Joe Bo, I'm sorry, you guys.
Bozo Joe.
The PA, and, yeah, Bozo the clown. The PA and, do I ask
right.
at this
you're,
point
you're
also
referring
for amendment?
You're referring to the wrong entity in the complaint. The language of the complaint is what you're talking about, correct?
Okay. What I would do with you needing to do that, because you have those references in your original complaint, what I think I would do would be to also state to the court, here again, giving the court a heads up, and due to the change in defendants in this case, as soon as service is perfected on the proper defendant, plaintiffs will file an amended complaint with the court to remedy any discrepancies noted in the original complaint. Related to the dismissed entity or the dismissed defendant.
But
here again, what are you
however,
doing? You're telling the court up front what you're doing.
Except for one thing, David, she does have to do. When you get her summoned to serve that complaint on the correct entity, of course it has to have a copy of the complaint. So you need to correct that complaint that is served on the correct entity.
That's what I'm asking. So what Terry just said, when I finish doing the motion for extension, I have to have the correct amended complaint to serve the proper entity.
Yeah, to the correct person
right.
or the correct
right.
entity. You will have to go in and and, you know, change the references to the wrong named party.
Well, but okay, here's the thing. Then here's the question. I understand exactly what you're saying, okay? But here's the question. Are you at the stage where you have to get leave of the court to file an amended complaint? Or are you not at that stage yet? They haven't answered, so I believe you would be okay to file an amended complaint.
I believe so, too.
Correct.
Because they haven't answered. They haven't answered.
Right. But, okay, so let's go to the other party. The first party, Bozo, he answered with a motion to dismiss, but... You gotta laugh, really.
She's got her terminology down, Jeff.
She likes the terminology I use.
I love it. We got stupid did and stupid does, and everybody, so it's loving
the rubber
it.
Rubber band around your jeans.
Jeans, yes.
Well,
I mean, my vocabulary has extended with this, believe me.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is if they... there's a responsive pleading that's been filed, which is a motion to dismiss. Okay, that's not an answer. I believe, according to the rules, that if there hasn't been an answer, then a amended complaint can be filed without leave of the court. So with your motion for enlargement of time, to add in with the fact that you're going to be serving the proper defendant, that you are at the same time filing an amended complaint with the court on this same date to properly address the issues, including with a new defendant. But here again, So if you tell the court that, sure, the court's going to look at that and go, this is a bit confusing here, but if you lay it out and say, okay, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, and don't try and mix them all up. You know, don't put them in a blender and mix it all up. Make it in your motion or your motion for enlargement of time to answer. You know, plaintiffs request enlargement of time to answer the motion to dismiss for the following enumerated reasons. And then you can go 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, we're doing this. 2, we're doing this. 3, we're doing this. 4, we're doing this. That way the court's got they can look right at it and look at the list. Okay, well, now I understand what they're doing. They want this enlargement of time because they're doing this to correct their dismissing. Okay, then they're doing an amended complaint, which would properly spell out the allegations against the new defendant, and
is
services is being made on the new defendant, and proof of service of the new defendant being served will be filed with the court as soon as that is available.
Right,
and then the court can look at that and go, here's a rundown, this is what they're doing and why they're doing it.
The judge doesn't have to sit there and flip back and forth trying to figure out, wait, why is she doing this? What does that have to do with this? No, just like Dave said, for the following enumerated reasons, list them out, A, B, C, D, E, F, or 1, 2, 3, however you put it.
Yeah.
And then
the main thing is to make it
chronological.
Clear.
Yeah, it's a chronological, very logical and concise outline of exactly what you're doing and why.
Yep.
I love it. Now, because I'm doing an amended complaint, I also will have to send that to the first Bozo. So I do send it to Bozo and Bozo Bozo Law Firm.
Everybody gets a copy.
You'd send a copy to Bozo and send a copy to Bozo Law.
Yes. Now, my next question is, because I'm doing the amend the complaint, can I change the whole thing or only the people that is involved?
No, you can change what you need to in it.
All right. So if I want to change my count.
You're still within that time parameter according to the rules, because they haven't filed an answer, you could change a lot of stuff, whatever you feel like you need to change.
Yeah.
Because it's not being changed by permission of the court at this point.
Right. You're not having to get permission, leave of the court to do it, where they might put some restrictions on what kind of changes can be made to it. Just, you know, make your complaint what you want it to be, but get it done so you can put all the stuff in and get it done at the same time.
Okay, I can do that. There's one thing I always remember, especially Jesse saying, make it as simple as possible.
Yep, simple, stupid. That's right.
Right, simple, easy language.
KISS principle.
And this is KISS principle, because that's what I got in trouble when I first started. I'm putting all this fancy stuff in there, and I'm like, okay, this is no, keep it simple. Silly, just keep it simple. Okay.
Yep.
I can do that. Yay. Okay, so that's my first question. All right, so we finished with...
First question. I think there was, about seven of them in there, wasn't there, you guys?
No, my question was one. You gave me seven answers.
Oh, she's good. Yeah. Okay.
And they were all wonderful. And it's great because I've done some of these already, working with my Legretta, so it's not that difficult now, but you just made it even more clearer and me using less words and more description in my delivery. So that is great. Yay. Okay, so back to the same case with the FDCPA, because this is the one with FDCPA, and so I have to be very cautious on how to say what he violated, because like you said in the last call, there's nothing to do with the original creditor, has nothing to do with account. It also gets his behavior on how he represented himself.
Attempted to collect the debt.
Okay. All right. So I'm not worried about that one now. So let's move on to our state court. And thank you, because now I'm finished with federal. So we're back to state now. And this is dealing with the same bozo. That's how it all started. And we talked about the affidavit of the person, the officer of the company. And my question is, on the affidavit, I type all my questions out. I'm all excited here. With the affidavit, we have mentioned, again, keep it simple. Now, with the summary judgment, what we're talking about, you have mentioned itemize. And what I have done, trying to keep it simple, for example, when we itemize, the first thing I had was objections to the CJ affidavit. That's how I started it. That's my first title. Is that how we call it? The bold point? The bullet point? We call that titles? I'm saying that right?
Well, yeah, you can say that. Objections to such and such. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And from there... The heading, there you go. Thank you, Terry. And from there, I itemized it. You know, the plaintiff's affidavit is defective, being hearsay, lacking evidence required by the rules. And then I put it down bullets, A, B, C, D, E, what was in her affidavit. Then I itemized it again. The affidavit fails to state. And I put all the things she failed to state. So I just wanted to make sure my headings were clear. My next heading was the evidence in support of the motion is insufficient to support the summary judgment. That's another heading.
Okay.
Then I say the act of itemization requirements. And that has all the things to do with the rules, with Terry's law, and so on and so forth.
Terry's Law. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hinkle's Law. I mean, I talk about you a lot. that's history. And then the last one I have, the evidence is sufficient to raise a genuine issue of material facts regarding the case. Then I bring in portfolio and I put all that stuff. I just wanted to make sure my headings were simple and sweet, not a lot of words.
Well,
what's
most important is that they're understandable by the court.
Okay.
Very
clear. Put yourself in the robe. I'm reading this. Does this make sense? Do I understand what they're saying here?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you got to think about it.
This is the first I've heard of it. Is it clear and concise, and do I understand it?
Perfect. I have written like a fifth grade level that I said, okay, you read this and tell me if you understand it. And I gave it to another person. They said, oh, I understand this. I said, good. Okay, because you don't even know what's going on, but you understood it. So that's
one of the good tests,
and
we've talked about that. We've said that before on these calls through the years.
Yes.
Go find somebody else that doesn't know anything about your case, and if you're going to submit something to the court, ask somebody else to read it and say, does that make sense to you? Can you kind of get the gist of what's going on there? If they say, I don't have a clue what's going on here, then you probably need to do some rewriting.
Sweet.
So you're on the right track doing that. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. And my last question on a different
case. I'm
going to
start charging her by the question now.
Yeah.
One time.
I know.
Jesse, you have no idea. You know,
yes,
it's like a
tariffs yet.
Well, I'm wondering now on these questions, so I don't get confused. Was the stuff on the federal case, was that 1A, 2B, 1B, 1C, 1D? Is this 2A, 2B, 2C? Just so I can keep everything straight here.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, we finished with the federal case, so that was 1A.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't want to get things confused here. Okay.
I know. I mean, Jesse, I know we haven't spoken over a month, but we just got hit.
I'm just teasing you. You know that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy sued us and another guy sued us. And I was like, what the? If they all woke up. Like you said, they're going to come after you. Right now, they're bored. They're looking for people. I mean, Jesse, one of these is like $3,500. Really?
Remember how they operate. Never let a good crisis go to waste, and they're not.
Wow, it's crazy.
True.
But see, I love what Terry said. Terry said, well, didn't they go research your name and see what you all do? I said, obviously they
did. Right? Yeah, right. Remember that goes back to you can't fix stupid, so remember that.
They said that, you know, King and Spalding, they said they never wanted to hear my name again. You know, 2 years later, I turn around and they end up representing the CRA when I'm in, you know, the full disclosure thing. And it took until one of the partners got into the case for them to realize, oh, shit, it's that Hinkle woman. And they settled the next day.
I know Jesse's not aware of what's going on, but I said I'm learning more and more to speak more like you all. Because now we went to court the last time. I actually spoke up. I actually said that was hearsay. That was irrelevant to this case, and he had no evidence of what he said. I was like, "Oh, I sound like you know what lies in your debt." That was pretty good.
Guys over there, yeah.
Where do you think we learned this stuff? Did we just pull this out of thin air? We learned it by listening to other people, just like you're learning from us.
That's right.
How bad do you want it? That's always the question. Yeah, how bad do you want
it? The first time you say to one of them, objection, you're referencing facts that are not in evidence. And then watch their face.
That's what happened. He, like, looked at us and looked at the lawyer, I mean, at the judge. I'm like, okay, that felt pretty good. But it was the truth. but I literally came out and said it with, like how John said, you got to say it with a straight face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
John
is,
yeah.
and Jackson
well,
don't really get the message.
It's,
so.
Yeah. It's just business.
Just business.
That's all
That's
it is.
Right.
But, it's just business.
Right, but he kept saying we was taking it personal. We was making it personal. You suing my firm and me, and you're making it personal. We says no. Brian says no. It's business. This is nothing to do with personal. You sued
I
us.
Right. Now, was it personal when he violated you?
Well, he don't think he violated us. He still think he's right.
Yeah.
Remember? That's how we going through
that matter. He's
entitled to his opinion. They're a dime a dozen.
Exactly. Well, my last question is this other state case where they sued, that's the one, $3,500 for alleged debt, and this is the one where it was service of process was insufficient, and I filed a motion to dismiss with the help. Your help, and
mm-hmm.
behind that, they came and filed a discovery, and they said, "Don't answer discovery, and Terry, because if you answer it, that means you're already in the, you're admitting to the service.
You're
right.
in the case if you start participating.
So we have not participated, but I have a question on one of the discovery that they put out, and I'm curious, how would you address it? Because remember, they were too lazy to go find out our place of abode, and that's one of the rules.
Right.
You have to serve the person at the place of abode. Instead, they just did a certified letter, not even a return receipt, and it went to our mail stop. And so we would never serve properly. But one of the questions on their interrogatories and request for production is state your full correct name and other names or nicknames by which you have been known. That was one. And the second one was state your present complete residential address and business address. That's the second question.
Okay.
I wasn't
well,
sure.
You don't have a business, so you don't have a business address, and your residence address is where you live, and it's not the mail stop.
All right.
Right, and so, and in answer to your question, like Dave just said, you don't have a business, so you can't put that address in there, so you just put the two capital letters N-A, not applicable.
Because he made the host, do I have to put the present complete residential address?
Tell
the truth, but no, give them everything, right?
Well,
you have to state your present complete.
Well, you don't want to put your mail stop in there because you're saying
no.
That wasn't a proper place to serve you.
Well, it's a legitimate request if you ever get to the point where you're required to answer, give your complete full residential address. Well, that's different than the mail stop. All right, so the whole thing is you don't have a business, so you don't have a mail stop. You don't have a business address. You've got a residence address where you put your head down at night. You put that down. You put down that full address.
Yeah.
And when it's...
You see, that's not...
Well, and on the one where it says business address... We have no business, therefore there's no
right.
no address.
Yeah,
not
applicable.
No
I place. Wouldn't even have to put that. Just put N-A, non-applicable,
yeah.
done.
I just put N-A, that's what I do.
Yep,
yeah.
Me too.
Beautiful.
That'd be fine.
Okay, I'm glad I can do just that simple, non-applicable. And the reason why I question the residential address, even though we have a lease on the a mortgage on this house, we don't always stay here. We go other places. But, and that's why
that's
I
fine.
Question that. So I still have to put...
That's your official home
That's your legal address.
Though, right?
Okay. Yes.
Right. Your legal address doesn't travel with you when you go out of town for a couple weeks. Your legal address is your home.
Stays put.
Home. Right.
Okay. Whatever address is on your driver's license is your official address.
But see, on our driver's license is our mail
stop.
Right.
How a lot of you do that, man? You couldn't get away with that in Florida for nothing. Wow.
No.
What?
Right. Well, we had issues back in. It's a long story, so it's like almost like you're a ghost.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter why
point.
The issue. It just they don't allow you to do that in Florida.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
You're lucky you got that.
Well, but at this point, it could be a little bit of a detriment to them because they'll say, well, we sent it to that mail stop address. And that you're saying that's what's on your driver's license.
Right.
So that's your address.
Okay.
How did you get away with that?
When we went to motor vehicles, we had the paperwork. And when we, again, we basically in a mobile home sometimes.
Ding dong didn't pick up on it.
Huh?
Ding dong didn't pick up on it.
I guess not. But we're about to fix that. So we're going to actually, that's just funny talking about it.
You slipped through the cracks.
Well,
what you did.
Okay, well. What I would suggest would be, you know, where in their interrogatory is read that again very specifically. I want to get the exact words that they're asking.
Okay, it has. Let me go back to the page because I just flipped it. Which is state your present complete residential address and business address.
Okay, residential. Not driver's license, residential.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 124 Main Street, whatever? That's your residential address. You don't live in a postal stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At least I don't think so. I doubt if you can fit
in. And when you go traveling, you don't sell your house and buy it again when you come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So your residential address is the number that's on the front of your house and the name on the street corner and the sign.
Yes. And that is, like I said, you can Google us and it come up on a daggone satellite or information.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but that's the information. Should you get to the point where you need to answer that discovery, which you're not at this point, that's the way you'd want to do it, I believe.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Because our goal is to get past this. I don't have time or the energy to file these people in federal yet. I got to finish with Bozo and everybody. And I'll deal with this probably a couple of months when everything slows down. But that's where we're going with the state, of course, because like the Bozo said, that we go out and sue everybody in FDA, CPA. We just go and sue everybody. And I was like, oh.
Well, I think there's a few more people in town that you haven't sued, so I guess you're not suing everybody.
Yes. Poor
baby. What's the population of the city you live in? And he says you're suing everybody. I think there's a discrepancy in his facts.
Okay, and one of them says, so a lot of these questions are very easy to answer. Like, defendant did not object to charges on a statement of account. Well, there is no account. So what are you talking about? Oh, I have a question on this discovery. Now, you all taught us to be very thorough when we create discovery by putting in general objections and certain words. And I learned that reading yours, Terry's and John and Dave's. And now I'm getting, this is the second time we got people filing discovery. They have one little paragraph about the rules, and they go right into the questions. And that gets me. Like, well,
wait a minute, Kim.
You don't
Kim,
expect
we never
them to
said
be thorough,
the lawyers.
Do you?
We never said the
thinking.
Lawyers follow the correct protocol and rules. We never said that.
Actually, we've said the opposite.
What's your definition of this word? please provide your definition of this word. Please provide your definition of this word. Please provide your definition
right.
of this
they'll
word.
They'll call you on that. They'll call you out on that. They'll use that for an excuse not to have to answer because you weren't clear about or you didn't give a definition of blah, blah, blah. But they don't think that same philosophy applies to them. You have to hold their feet to the fire.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I found a couple of good ones reading you all, and that's what you have. You says, what is the definition of, for example, there's no, like John said, there is no account. There's, what is an account? There is no account. They have here a statement of account. I'm like, what are they talking about? They don't even have a statement account. What are they talking
right.
about? I mean, oh, so just put it just that simple. What is your definition of? Okay. I can do this. Yay. All right, but I don't have to do anything right now because
yeah.
I don't have to do anything right now because I'm waiting in the cut, just like you all prepared me, that when the court answers the motion to dismiss for insufficient service, process of service, if the court denies my motion, I'm ready to file the second motion to dismiss for, like I said, itemization of the account because they did the
right.
same thing.
Right. And Jim,
I'm
remember that a lawyer's bag of dirty tricks in discovery, okay, one of their favorite things is exactly what we're talking about here. And why do they do it? To eat up your discovery time. Okay.
Yep.
Because you have a specific set amount of time for discovery. You need 30 days for each round plus mailing time, okay? So every one of those days that they can burn of yours is less time that they have to answer any discovery that you propound on them. But those dirty tricks, those are open for you to use too.
That's a two-way
street.
So when
you do this, yeah, when you do the same thing to them and you answer back and you answer their discovery, but every other one on the interrogatories is define blah, blah, blah. There is cannot answer, you know, what does not enough information to base an answer on. Please define blah, blah, blah. That will make them nuts, but it will burn up their discovery time.
Yep, which is what they're doing to you, by the way. So.
Yeah. See, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and don't forget it.
Yeah, that's very much a double-edged sword.
Well, I have learned from some of the best, and you guys are some of the best to me. Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, I have more work to do because I have to work on the motion to dismiss and do the numbers and all that fun stuff. So I'll get that done before Friday to take a ride over to federal court and file it personally. That's what gets them,
there
too.
You.
Every time
yeah.
I file, it says hand-delivered.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So, And none of our courts, FYI, still, I don't wear a mask. They don't bother me. They don't even wear masks.
Good girl.
I'm in Union County. They are so polite. I mean, I walk in now, they say, if I beat this up, she's good. Go ahead.
That's awesome.
Like you said, learn their names. I be friendly. Compliment them.
But you walk in there like you own the place.
That's right.
You know,
And I go dressed.
Because
I dress
at the end of the day, Kim, actually, you do own the place. That's
yes,
the people's
exactly.
house, not
that's
theirs.
Right.
Mm, say it again.
They just
I
have to
that.
They got to be reminded of that every now and then, you know?
Amen. Thank you. Okay, well, I'll keep you abreast of Thursday call. Say I'm on my way.
There you go.
Well, it's again pleasure, and I look forward to hearing what Jesse's going to say about his case. And thank you all, and a pleasant night. And until soon. All right, bye for now.
Good night. night.
Thursday.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got another hand up here. Let's go to 407. You're unmuted. Go ahead. 407, you've been unmuted for your question. Well, maybe somebody inadvertently hit it and they forgot about it. Well, we're going to go ahead and pass on that. All right, Jesse, you said you had something that you wanted to tell us about.
No. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to, this is on your friend. I'm not going to give out any names. But you know who I'm talking about right there near you, Dave. I think she's right near you. Anyway, it's your little friend. I don't want to say no names. She's been dealing with Chase and all the refinancing and everything. You're the one who sent her my way. So anyway, last night around 10 o'clock or 2:48 a.m.
Oh, okay. Hey, yeah, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah, I hadn't heard any more from her. I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
So it says, can't sleep, trying to determine what to do. Chase continues to state that I'm not in foreclosure. In 22 years, I've never made a late payment, always 2 weeks early. I got behind on property taxes when I was unemployed for 5 years. I'm disputing with all three bureaus the 5 missed payments alleged by Chase. It appears they're trying to do a modification to add property taxes from 10 years ago when I was with Washington Mutual.
And nobody will
refinance her, okay, because of that. But what I'm saying is they're trying to collect a debt that's over 10 years old. You can't do that.
Well, what's Texas? What is the statute of limitations on that there?
But it's, I mean, there's several issues I see here, but, you know, Washington Mutual is no longer in business. So they can't prove anything that she owed or did owe. Those records are 10 years old. How many times have they been passed around between servicers? So in the meanwhile, she can't get refinanced, but I'll be damned if she can, you know, figure it out. Let's put it that way. I don't know what the deal is. Yeah, I just don't get it.
I don't see how they can collect on something that is outside statute of limitations on collection.
That's exactly right. Not only that, they're not even the original creditor.
Exactly. Nope. And they have no documentation to prove up that which they're unlawfully trying to collect in the first place.
Exactly. So... You know, I have to talk to her, but I'm just not exactly sure that she has the wherewithal to handle it.
Yeah, she's had a rough go.
Oh, yeah.
With family issues and health issues and stuff. Big time.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks.
So, there you go.
Well... I don't know. I don't have any other suggestions.
Trying to help her, man. Yeah, I don't either. But, I mean, she's going to have to sue them to get past this. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. Do you? I have no idea.
No.
I don't even comprehend that.
I have to agree with you, Jesse. And the big question is... if she can't afford an attorney, and I'm assuming here that she can, and would have to do it herself, is she up for that? Because
I don't think she has the wherewithal.
Suspect,
I don't.
Yeah. Right, because at the end of the day, I kind of suspect that if she were to be able to take that route, all right, they might rethink their position and back off when they realize They know they're unlawfully doing something. Okay, they know.
Yeah, that's Chase. They don't think that way.
No.
Yeah. Chase doesn't think that way.
But if they see that they are going to be challenged and they really don't have a defense to to stand on with the court when it comes to no standing to sue on something outside of statute anyway, they
right.
might back off. But if she doesn't have, you know, the wherewithal to be able to do it, then it can only be done by an attorney.
Well, she may find herself in a position that she, you know, I had a conversation with her on the phone before I referred her over to Jesse, and, you know, that she may end up being in a position where she has to liquidate the property.
She don't want to, man.
God, well, I know. Not. See, you know, that's just like, you know, screaming in the middle of the night at the moon for her. She's paid on this place for 22 years. It's her home. You know, she's got such an emotional attachment to it. It's just unreal.
Yep.
But
you got
the
it.
Problem, but, you know, sometimes reality strikes and you have to do something that you don't want to do, because her big problem is she's got a shitload of equity in that.
Yeah,
she's got a boatload
of
equity.
And
she could, where it is, she could put a sign out in the front yard and she'd have three buyers there within 3 hours with cash.
Yeah.
Because she's in a good area in Plano. And
Plano's kicking right now. Yeah.
Property is selling like hotcakes around here. Because
yeah.
there's so many people moving
tell me,
in
I
here.
Know. I was in Plano last time I was up there, so I couldn't believe what I was looking at. it really shot through the roof.
Did you go up to Plano when you were
yeah.
over? When we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On my last morning, I had to go up there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is crazy, isn't it?
It's nuts. I didn't even recognize it.
Oh yeah.
I have a
wow.
Yeah, Plano tackles up there, Dave.
oh.
Plano
well,
manufacturing.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's why I had to go
that,
there.
Of course,
yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
crazy. I couldn't recognize everything's new houses, new apartment communities. You know, I mean, it was beautiful. I'm like, holy.
When was the last time you were there? Yeah.
When
was the last time you were there? No. I mean, before that.
Oh, 5 years ago.
5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot has happened in 5 years.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Big
I,
time.
I drove in. I'm like, well, what? What the heck is this yeah. place, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can drive by a vacant lot on Monday, and the following Monday you go over there and there's three houses half built, you know, right in
yeah.
a row. And it's like, holy shit, are they watering the stuff and it's growing up out of the ground or
like
what?
Like plants, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
yeah.
neat place, though. I liked it. Your governor's a little slow, but other than that, I don't mind.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, the governor is way slow. He hasn't done what he should
yeah.
have on the border, and it took him way too long to issue the executive order on no mandates.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
vaccine mandates. That should have been done a long time ago. Yeah, we need a new
yeah.
governor. Alan West is running. And then
Huffines
is running, too. But, well, Huffines, there's a whole lot of shit in his background.
Is there?
So, yeah, there's
yeah,
a bunch of shit in his background. But, you know, he's big in the car business around here. There's a number of car dealerships with the Huffines name on them and a lot of real estate stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But Abbott has definitely been slow on the draw. There's no question. And he hasn't done nearly what he could have or should have done at the border. But that's just a Texan speaking out.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree. I watch that stuff. And I like Texas,
yep.
so, you know, I get it. I'd be upset if I lived there, too.
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. We've got Terry. How's Terry's hand up? How'd you put your hand up, Terry? Okay, let's go to 631. 631, you're unmuted.
Dave.
Go ahead. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
My mom died 6 years ago, left the house to 5 siblings. And I'm the only one living
here. Hold on, before you go any further. Hold on. Let me get some details before you go any further. You say left to. Was it in a will? Did it go through probate? Or did she just die and left us stuck with this house? So there's all kinds of different situations when mom passes, leaves the house. That's why I'm asking.
She died and left in a will.
Okay, fantastic. So it's been through probate or no?
Well, it was probate, but it was over a long time ago, 6 years.
Okay.
Now it's paid off and everything.
Awesome. Okay, good deal. And by the way, sorry about your mom.
Well, yeah, she's in her 90s, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have a brother who is deep in debt, and I don't know how, but he's going to refinance, and he's going to knock the price down per month quite a bit for him. But
So he's living in the house?
No, he's living in his own house. I'm the only one living in this house.
Oh, I'm confused.
My brother has his own house, but he's deep in debt, and he has to refinance because he can't afford his monthly payments.
Okay, but that's got nothing to do with, at this point, with the house from your mother.
No,
correct?
Not yet. But,
that's why I'm confused. Yeah, that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jesse jumped the gun, that's all. Go ahead.
Okay, well, refinancing, and they asked him, is your name on any other what's the word? I mean, owners.
Real estate.
Yeah, and it is.
On any
deed. And his name is on this deed. And so they said, well, why would they ask that? I mean, he's 69, and he's going to have a new 30-year mortgage, so he has to work till he's 99. So it's just a matter of time before he has to default.
He won't live that long, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No,
right.
No, but would they have a lien on this house then?
No. If he passes away and nobody claims the house or takes over the home, keeps making the payment, whether it's a spouse, a child, anything he has, then the bank will just foreclose on the house because they're only entitled to that house. And what you should do is take your guys' house and put it into some kind of anonymous trust is what you should do. And that's it. Nobody knows it's his or
what?
Yeah. An anonymous trust. And that's it.
Okay.
That way you guys have no liability either one of you.
Uh-huh. So
yeah.
As it stands now, though, they don't have a way to put a lien on this house, the house I'm in.
You mean if he passes away?
No, if... he's going to have to...
To clarify here, Jesse is saying that the house that you guys inherited, evidently there's what, 5 of you that are on the deed on that?
Right.
Is
I'm
that
the
correct?
One living here. Yes.
Okay. You're living in that property yourself?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you need to do something with that, like Jesse said, to put it in a trust or something so that the ownership of that is in one place instead of divided up between 5 different people. Because all that's going to do is confuse the daylights out of things if somebody passes away.
Right.
Correct,
uh-huh.
Jesse?
Correct.
So you should be doing something about putting that in a... in a trust, like Jesse said, and then, you know, if you're living in it, okay, you're taking care of it. Are you paying rent to your siblings living there?
I'm paying all the bills.
Yeah, but I mean, you're getting the benefit of the use of the property. The others aren't, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
When my mom passed, when she passed, I asked him, you know, I guess we'll have to sell the house and split it up. And the two brothers that are in debt said, no, just live there as long as you want.
Okay. But see, you got to think in terms of, okay, let's say one of your brothers unexpectedly passes away.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's say he passes away next week. Hopefully not, but let's say just for argument's sake that happens. All of a sudden, they're going to look at your brother's situation and go, oh, he has equity in this piece of property where you live, and now you're going to have some entanglements on that, and it's like, okay, how do they get their value out of that? Whereas if the property that you're living in was put into a trust, then your brother's affairs would be set up in such a way that he would have value a certain share of that trust. They wouldn't be able to come in and start disturbing everything that you guys have got. In other words, you need to separate your interests.
What state are you in by any chance? Just curious.
New York.
Oh, you're in New York. I'm sorry.
Long Island.
Unless you're up north. Dave, I wouldn't think that they would ask for anything out of that place if his brother passed. They would just foreclose, take the property, and be done with it. The only time you ever go after anything else would be if there's deficiency judgment, you know, something on that property. That when they sold it, you know, he was upside down or something with the mortgage.
Well, no, you got me confused with what you just said.
If his brother passes and there's nobody to claim his house, like I said earlier, if somebody doesn't step up and start making payments.
But wait a minute. You're talking about his brother's house who's in debt.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if his brother passes, he or any one of his other siblings can step up, keep making the payment on the place, take it over basically, and sell it, right? You can put all that stuff in writing. He can in his will. So you guys can continue to make what little payments or whatever he's due on the place until you sell it. Then you can profit the money and split it among, I don't know if he's married, have kids. I don't know what the situation is on his side.
No kids.
Okay. Spouse?
What was that?
Does he have a spouse?
He's married.
Okay. So his wife would take over it at that point. You don't have to worry about it. And then when she died, of course, at that point, then you need to tell your brother, you know, or her, in what will, how to will it to you guys, so you guys can sell the home and profit the money out of it. Make sense? Don't look at it as a liability. Look at it as a possible asset from your brother. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just thought the reason why they asked if he had his name on any other deed was maybe because they can, when he defaults, which it's going to happen, I guess, because he's not going to pay it.
Why would he default? Okay, didn't you say he's refinancing it to not default? Am I crazy here?
He can't afford the payments. He's paying like something like $4,500 a month, and it's going to go down to $2,500 on a refinance, but it's going to go out to 30 years. So he has to be 99.
That's okay. What does it matter? What's that matter? As long as he can afford the $2,500 a month, he can go out 159 years. What's that matter?
Yeah. Okay.
You understand where I'm going with that? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
All right.
So, yeah,
but
it'd be fine.
It's best to put it in a trust, you say?
Yes.
I'd probably have to get a lawyer for that, right?
Yeah, you can use trust documents. You know, I mean, they're not that hard to find online. You can get them for free generally. Just do a search for them. You know, depends on what kind of trust. But, yeah, you can hire an attorney and attorney will do it for you for a couple hundred or probably about $1,500, I would think. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
It's worth it if that's your worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it if that's your concern.
All right, thank you.
All right, you have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, bye.
All right. Well, let's see here. See if we got anything else on the board. And I'm not seeing anything else on the board. So I guess we're at the end of our call for tonight, folks. And we only got 20 minutes left until it'd be over normally anyway. So
yes,
we had some good discussion. Before I let Jesse wrap things up, I just want to mention, because we've had some people come on since our early discussion, I am going to provide something to Terry. I'm going to have to dig it out and find the link, and I will send it to her. And those of you that are on this call, hopefully you get Terry's emails, and she will be sending it out in her email on Thursday night. If you're not on her email list for some reason, get on it by sending an email to Queen Songbird, one word, queensongbird@gmail.com, and say, please put me on the list. That way this will get emailed to you. But this is regarding COVID, and if you get it, one of the most important things that you need to know is what to do if you get COVID and what not to do. And the biggest
correct
what not to do is go to the hospital. Do not go to the hospital. And I'm not going to explain why here, because we've discussed that. When Terry sends that email out after her call on Thursday night, take the 1 hour to listen to Mel Kay, who is talking to a doctor from Frisco, Texas, just north of me here a little bit. Very informative 1 hour video. He tells you exactly what you need to do, where you can get things like ivermectin and everything else. But he also warns you, and this is a doctor, he warns you the worst thing you can do, and if you do it, you're very likely signing your own death warrant, is to go to the hospital or let somebody take you to the hospital, because there's a very, very high probability that you'll never go out of there other than cold. So just as a warning, if you're not up to speed on what's going on with the COVID stuff and what needs to happen, what the real agenda is out here, you need to listen to that if you don't do another thing this week. So I'll leave it at that. Jesse, it's up to you to tell everybody when we're going to be back here again. And
well, I got a foreclosure webinar tomorrow.
Okay.
3 o'clock. It's just Q&A. Now,
yep,
last time, nobody
Eastern
came. I don't know if anybody, last two foreclosures I've done, nobody has come. Apparently, there's nobody in foreclosure.
Well,
that's
it kind of seems
think
that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, God bless them. I'm happy. I'm glad. Why would I not be happy that they're not in foreclosure?
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I'm there till about 3:05. If nothing
yeah
happens, I am out.
So don't be trying to get on the call a quarter after the hour thinking you can get in late.
Exactly.
That's not a good
I
idea.
I wouldn't be there. Right.
So you've been warned.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can't say
so
you didn't
you
warn me.
Yeah. So anyway, and that's really about it. There's nothing else going on tomorrow. The next call, of course, is the second week of next month. I don't have the exact date because I don't have my calendar with me. But it'll be a reminder anyway. We'll be sent out, so we're good.
It'll probably
and that's
be
really about
on the 9th, November 9th.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the second Tuesday rather than the 16th. So it'll be one of those two. It'll either be the 9th or the 16th of November.
Yeah. Yep, yep. One of those two.
And you'll get,
you
there'll be an email sent out about it to give you a heads up on that.
Yep, you got it. Anyway, so there you go. That's that, and it's over. There's nothing more. So you guys, Dave, we've got to talk about Terry's call tonight.
Terry's call is at Thursday night, is on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And like I said before, if you're not on Terry's email list or don't know about her call for some reason, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com and just say, please put me on the list. That's all you got to do, and you'll be good to go there. Somehow Terry got dropped off or got muted or something. I don't know what she did, but I just unmuted her again.
Yeah,
so,
I got disconnected, and then you couldn't hear me.
No, I have to unmute you, but I usually expect
you
to be on the call.
In the queue. I did. I put myself in the queue, but then I was talking and nobody was hearing me. I got disconnected is what happened. I had to dial back in.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. Kind of like the cartoons.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Well, God bless everybody. Thanks for joining our call, of course. And that's it. I'm so tired. I can't even think, Dave. So how's that? I mean, I'm just flat worn the hell out. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
It's been a hectic stuff for the last few weeks. So it's COVID nonsense running around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll take its toll in a different way. But at least everybody is doing well and made it through and is healthy again. So that's the most important part.
Exactly.
So we
all
got to take
matters.
Care of ourselves, guys. Yeah, and I hope everybody is. If you're not paying attention to what's going on, really going on in the world, if you're listening to mainstream media, if you're still listening to ABC, NBC, CBS, MSN, or MSNBC or CNN, if you're listening to that stuff, you're your own worst enemy. You just really are, because you're not getting the truth. You're getting propaganda. You need to be listening to things like War Room with Steve Bannon. I listen to that twice a day. I listen in the morning for 2 hours and an hour in the afternoon. It's an amazing amount of information, and you're getting truth.
And people like Mel Kay and Michael Jaco, they give you very, very good information. There are good alternative news sites where you can get the facts, and you can even not only get the facts, but while they're giving the facts, they also give you information as to how to fact check their facts.
Yep. They give you the sources. So if you want to pay attention to War Room like I do every day, I've been listening for many months. I've learned an immense amount. It's just warroom.org with Steve Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. I recommend it to anybody. And you can listen live in the mornings and the afternoon, or you can listen to the recordings. Every podcast is done. They've got people all over the world listening to it. So anyway, get good information. Don't buy into the BS on the mainstream media, because that's all it is. It's all propaganda.
It's all it is, man. I mean, it's total and utter nonsense. And
scripted propaganda repeated on every station at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. It's absurd. It's absurd. It's absurd. So with that said, guys, unless you have anything else, Dave, or you need anything, Terry?
Nope.
I think we're done.
We're done. Yep, we are
done. We are done for the night. So God bless
you
guys.
Hope everybody has
a great week.
Yep, have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Terry's call Thursday night if you join us there.
That'll work. Guys, we'll talk
to you. Good night,
all. Good night.
All righty. Good night, everybody.
Right. Bye-bye now. Sure.